Well, we hope that all of you that are listening in will be excited about the new lessons that we have this new year. And it's been fun to get into the new subjects, and I have some very interesting panelists with us today. We have, of course, Lois. Lois, you like to travel.
I sure do, Doris. I'm glad you invited me to be on this program today. Well, this will be a highlight.
You're a good tourist in a way, but I know you're going to like this article, too.
Great.
And then we have Pauline. Pauline's another one who loves to travel.
I do love to travel, Doris. Thanks for inviting me to be a part of this article today as well.
Well, and you also like to take pictures of things.
That's true. I take a lot of pictures.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about David. David, do you like to travel or not?
Well, I don't travel a lot, but I do love technology. So
okay, so that's a good combination then of panelists
right.
today, isn't it?
Yes, very
and
good.
Welcome all of you who are listening in, and I hope you'll enjoy the lessons that we have for you this year. Now, this one is on page 16 of your magazine. I hope everybody has a magazine, or at least you look at mstudioclassroom.com, and you can hear today's lesson. All kinds of ways to listen into advance, isn't that right?
There sure is, Doris. And you know, with my travels, I meet a lot of people that listen to advance, and not just here in Asia.
Well, that's good. So welcome all of you who are listening in today, and we're going to talk about this article. And what is the title of the article?
The title today is The New Appeal in Tech Tourism. So
okay.
This is a new subject for me. I'm very curious about it.
Well, it is, because we talk about all kinds of tourism. There's some people who like to go and see, you know, mountains or lakes or something, or like, but this is for technology. So have a tour for technology. It is a new idea. And what kind of places are they going to go to? What does it say for the subtitle?
Well, we got here on our deck here that Google, Facebook, and Apple draw hordes of tech tourists.
Hordes is an awful lot of people. I think of a lot of horses running or buffalo or something. I think of hordes of like cowboys. What do you think of when you think of hordes? Or a lot of people going someplace.
Yeah, I usually think of really packed cities. Mm-hmm. That's what I think of when I think of hordes.
Hordes of people going to some big event or something
right.
like that. Many, many people. Now, not just a few, but many, many people. And what is the area we're going to talk about where these people go, David?
Well, we're going to talk about Silicon Valley in San Francisco.
Now, Silicon Valley, that's the name of a lot of different little towns that are down there. And why do they call it Silicon Valley?
It refers to the tech industry. So that's the name they give it, and it refers to the tech industry. And it does refer to a certain area, which is either in San Francisco or close to it, kind of bordering it. And I just happen to have a girlfriend that's been a friend since 5 years old living there and has been living there for years.
Well, I think in the 60s is when it got started more, because when they started with computer chips and that kind of technology, it was all done in that area. So these different little cities, and they're not all big cities, but they're just connected close together, is where people started to do this kind of business. So they started to call that whole area Silicon Valley, didn't they?
Right, and there are a lot of internet businesses and computer-heavy technology centers there.
In case
you don't know, as a listener, the San Francisco area, that is in California. The Golden State is California, United States.
And San Francisco itself has a lot of tourism, but we're going to find out that this is a different kind that is drawing people there. So the very first paragraph is very short, but it gives us a little part of the title. So let's just read the very first paragraph.
Move over, Alcatraz. Clear some way, cable cars, and back off, Mickey Mouse. Silicon Valley is giving San Francisco and other Golden State attractions a run for their money when it comes to drawing hordes of tourists.
All right, so move over, back off, and step aside. Oh, and also clear some way. So we are saying here that there is something new that is going to be taking over a primary role in tourism in California, a new attraction that may beat all of the others out. What is that, Lois?
Well, it was surprising to me, Pauline, because it's not what I would have thought. It's actually, our paragraph says, drawing hordes of tourists, and that is the tech tourism of this part of California.
And I think, you know, she likes to be a tourist. Have you ever been there?
Well, I've been very close to the area, and as we were talking before we went on the air, I didn't get my picture in front of a tech tourism place, but the one I wanted to see, as I mentioned to you, Doris, was up in Canada in Waterloo, Ontario. I wanted to see BlackBerry.
Oh, we're not going to talk about BlackBerry, so, today, because they're not even in the running.
Yeah. So I just was so interested in that, and I was interested in the tech tourism that was in this area, San Francisco, but we also had a wedding to attend to.
But you went to Alcatraz.
I went to see Alcatraz, didn't have a tour of it, but got a really good view of it. And it's still spectacular to this day to see it, and it's amazing how many birds are around it. That's what surprised me about Alcatraz.
And for those of you who don't know, Alcatraz is a famous island that used to be a prison in the United States, and now it's a major tourist attraction. In fact, there are a lot of tourist attractions in California. That's why it's rather surprising that Silicon Valley is attracting so many people when there's already a lot of tourist attractions competing for attention. Doris, do you want to tell us about some of the others that are there in California?
Well, of course, everybody's heard of Mickey Mouse because that has to do with Disney and so forth. And the cable cars in San Francisco, because there's so many hills in San Francisco, it's very steep hills, and these cable cars go up the hills, and they've been famous. But I think that, you know, when they say they're going to give somebody a run for their money, I think that just means that these people are going to have to be careful because there's other people that are going to compete with them now.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, let's find out what some of those industries are that are competing for tourists. We're going to read down through the next paragraph down to line 20.
Checking in. For some tourists, taking a selfie in front of Facebook is all part of the vacation plan. We are all the way from India, said Pavi Rajukumar, with family members at Facebook's Thumbs Up sign outside its Menlo Park headquarters on a recent morning. Alongside Raj Kumar was her nephew, Shriman Sindel, who spends 2 to 3 hours a day on the social network and claims to have 1,000 Facebook friends. This is the only thing that woke him up, Rajkumar said, of the visit to the company. Disneyland didn't work.
All right, so the first place we hear about that tourists are flocking to is the headquarters for what social media giant, David?
Well, we're talking about Facebook here.
Facebook. Of
that's
course,
right.
That's very famous, isn't it?
It sure is.
I might want to get my face beside the sign of Facebook. I think I would.
You think it's worth taking a selfie in front of
Facebook?
Yeah,
might be for me.
Definitely.
I don't know. Not for me. What about you?
Well, I guess if I was there, I would probably take a selfie there because it is so famous worldwide now. But I don't know if I would go out of my way to go there because I tend to be more attracted to activities as opposed to just a solitary picture. A lot of people are attracted to it. What about you, David?
Well, I would. I mean, I've been using Facebook for about 7-8 years, and then it'd just be nice to actually see what I'm actually, like, where the company is.
Well, it's okay to see it, but, you know, I mean, to go there just to take a picture. I mean, you know, a lot of people run around and say, I was here and I was there, but I kind of like to go inside and look at it myself. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, it would be nice to look at it.
Well,
I'm
going to
see if Mark invites me in. Maybe Mark will invite me.
It came from a long way away.
Yeah, they say there's people all the way from India in this example coming to take pictures with Facebook, and it is a reminder that this has become a recognized company all over the world, and there is a draw there to just be a part of this phenomenon that's happening. And one thing they mention here is giving the thumbs up sign. Doris, can you tell us what the thumbs up sign means?
Well, nowadays you see whenever anybody takes a picture, they like to say, I approve of that. That's great. And when you just take a picture with friends or students, they give you the thumbs up sign. They put their two thumbs up and you take the picture. Now on Facebook, they have this little symbol of a thumb because that means I like it. And you put that on there and they know that you liked whatever the subject was. So the thumbs up sign means approval.
Right. What if you turn it upside down, what happens?
No, Lois, we're not getting into that.
Non-approval.
No, but they give them a thumbs up sign.
I do think doing the thumbs up sign in front of the Facebook building makes a lot of sense since that's a symbol that we both do in pictures already normally and is very particular to the Facebook world. Well, let's find out about another place that people are going to tour or at least take pictures of in Silicon Valley, starting at the top of the right column on page 16.
A strange pairing. Quietly but indubitably, tech tourism has become a thing. Hundreds of people a day visit the Facebook site and Google's Android Sculpture Garden in Mountain View, with many stopping at other tech giants as well, snapping photos and shooting video, and they don't even get to go inside. What you're seeing are people on a pilgrimage, says Stanford Communications Professor Fred Turner, who regularly drives past Facebook and ponders the selfie-seeking travelers. Most technology tourism is of the do-it-yourself variety, but several companies offer customized tours. Folks are looking for a physical place behind the kind of dematerialized experience that they have online, Turner said.
All right, so we're getting to know a little bit more about this world of tech tourism in the Silicon Valley. One of the first big vocab words we come to see here is the word indubitably. Now, that's a big, long word we don't necessarily expect for you to use in your everyday conversation, but it's a nice one to know at least what it means. David, do you want to explain the meaning to us?
Yeah, indubitably. This means for sure, without a doubt, definitely.
Right. So its meaning is pretty simple, but it's a big sounding word. So don't get scared when you hear it. It just means this person thinks this is for sure a thing. And when we say a thing, we just mean this is something that is happening. Tech tourism is happening. And they go on to support that by saying that hundreds of people a day are visiting the Facebook sign and Google's Android Sculpture Garden in Mountain View, which I didn't know about that place. Have you been to it?
I've been there.
Oh.
And it's really very interesting because one of our former staff members of kids works there. We got to have a nice tour, and it was beautiful. Now, for Facebook, there's this sign, and they want to take a picture in front of it. But when you go over to Google, there's like a big, kind of like a park or a garden, and it's so interesting because they have all these sculptures and things you can see there, which are so, we'll talk more about Google later, but they not just go to the sign, but they walk inside and walk around and see more things. That's why I like Google.
That sounds more enjoyable to me. Now, we also wanted to point out to you that they talk about the tourists snapping photos and shooting video. Snapping photos, taking photos, the same thing. Same with shooting video. We use the word shooting or taking. Taking a video, shooting a video. Either one, it might be easiest for you just to use the word taking so you don't get them confused.
Take a picture.
But just so you know, you don't want to say snapping a video or shooting a photo. You need to keep those with their respective media. So it's snap for photos, shoot for video.
I think the reason they do that is because a snap is very quick when you snap something, but a video has to go on. It's not just something that you just click and it's gone. So that's why they say the snap, I think, because it's a quick movement, don't you think?
I think you're exactly right. I've never really thought about it, but that really does explain
snap,
it for us.
Like that, right.
Now, they say that people are going on a pilgrimage to these sites. Lois, do you want to explain a pilgrimage to us?
Right. We often think of the word pilgrimage often with religious pilgrimage. But here we think pilgrimage is a journey to a place which is considered special and which you visit to show your respect. So in this case, I think it's more something that's special, not that they have to pay respect. That's more of a religious pilgrimage. But I can understand, especially the younger generation, who actually doesn't remember. My nieces do not remember a life without Facebook. They don't. So to them, because they're not from my generation, this is a big deal. If their parents said to them, I want to take you on a trip to Facebook, they would be on the next airplane because of their generation. They can't remember life without Facebook.
Right. It is a big part of our world now, and a lot of people are interested in it and want to be associated with it.
Well, you'll notice that the Stanford's communication professor drives by there on his way to work. So Stanford is also nearby, very famous university.
Right.
And he goes by and he sees all these people taking selfie, and he kind of ponders it. He thinks about it, see, because, wow, look at all this as it's happening.
Right, and his explanation to himself was that, well, this is a type of pilgrimage. It's become a central point that people, especially probably of a younger generation, have decided they want to see it maybe at least once in their lifetime because it's iconic to them. Let's see. Oh, in this next sentence, we see that most technology tourism is of the do-it-yourself variety, but several companies offer customized tours. David, do you want to talk to us about what's the difference between a do-it-yourself tour versus a customized tour?
Sure. Do-it-yourself variety, you go there by yourself without a tour guide. You can walk around as you like on your own time. And the customized tour, they have a tour guide and you follow them. They'll explain everything. And personally, if this is my first time going, I would prefer a customized tour myself.
The other thing about customized tours is usually they take you to the places, right? So you don't have to worry about the transportation, getting lost.
That's
I can
right.
appreciate
right, yes.
that side of having a tour
yeah.
you pay for.
And sometimes they get permission to do things that you couldn't do
exactly.
by yourself. They'll let the tour group sometimes.
Exactly.
You know?
I recently did one in an area of Rome, and I'm so glad my husband and I picked a customized tour because we saw way more.
Right.
They got into places we couldn't have gone right. into on a do-it-yourself.
But that's on the other point. Hand, sometimes, you know, when you go on a trip, you kind of like to have a do-it-yourself. You don't want them telling you where to go. So it kind of works both ways. Yeah. But for this technology tourism, I think it's not a bad idea to have a customized tour. What do you think?
Yeah, I think for me as an American who's, and actually especially with my husband who's very comfortable driving, I'd probably do the do-it-yourself tour because I have somebody who's already very comfortable with navigating. Although if I was by myself, I don't really like to drive in high traffic areas. I'm not as comfortable. Then I would go with the customized tour that will just take me there. So it depends on who I was with.
That's true, right.
Now, Turner, the university professor that we were talking about, he has one more thought on why these locations have become such a draw. David, why don't you take that for us and tell us what he thinks.
Right. Turner said folks are looking for a physical place behind the kind of dematerialized experience that they have online.
Hmm. What do you think that means, Lois?
Well, I think people want to see, we've had it in our advanced vocabulary before, brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. They want to actually see the real place. Because a lot of people today spend life, whether it's their personal life or their work life, on a computer. And maybe they don't even work in a building. I have the privilege of working in an office building here. But maybe they don't, and they go, well, you know, I'm always doing all this stuff on Facebook and Google. I want to go find the place. I want that brick and mortar.
Yeah, I think so. I think that makes sense that people want a connection with the real physical world. Even though the reality of Facebook is that most of the reason we love Facebook is because of the virtual side of it. But there's still something about human nature that wants to be able to touch and see and be physically in it.
Exactly. And I want to find Mark. Come on, he's going to have lunch with me.
If you don't know, Mark is the first name of the founder of Facebook.
I don't
Facebook.
Think she's going to find him.
But I doubt you're going to find
him.
Well,
I have a son named Mark, so maybe I'll tell him about the connection.
There you go. All right, well, let's go ahead and read the last section of this day of our article, and then we'll talk about that.
Google is popular offline. A visit to Google's Android Garden in Mountain View presents a physical place and more. Here, tourists walk among super-sized representations of the operating system's mascots, including a hulking donut, immense cupcake, and giant ice cream sandwich, representing the 11 Android iterations. We use Google every day, every hour, so we wanted to visit it, said Daniel Resende, 34, an electrical engineer from Brazil on vacation with his wife, Monica, a 37-year-old dentist. It's an important place.
Okay, so we finally get to talk a little bit more about the Google's Android Garden that, Doris, you've been to. So I'm excited to hear more about this.
Right. And we took pictures there because it's kind of like when you go into this big building. There's a big building on all sides, but in the middle is this kind of a cement place, and they have these great big kind of statue things there. And what I like, they're not of people. There's a great big donut.
I'm funny.
You know, a hulking, like big. There's a great big donut there. And they also have a big cupcake and a giant ice cream sandwich. Doesn't that look funny?
It sounds hilarious, although... It
sounds like a restaurant.
Yeah, right. David, why would they have all these sculptures of food for a tech company?
Well, these things represent the 11 different Android iterations.
How?
Iteration means the process of doing something again and again, usually to improve it or one of the items you do. So every time Android updates, they come up with a new word like the donut or ice cream sandwich.
to represent their new system and make it clearer for those of us who maybe aren't quite so tech savvy to notice new numbers or long technical phrases. But we'll notice if now it's a donut and not a muffin.
Okay. Would you like to have a picture of the big ice cream sandwich?
These are very interesting mascots, I must say. I kind of would like them for sports teams, maybe.
Oh, that's
a
fun idea.
And, you know, right next to this big place here, on one side is a big cafeteria restaurant place. And what's so nice about that is that all of the people that work at Google don't have to pay for their food. And they can go, there's two or three different kinds of restaurants, and we got to go there because we knew somebody there, and we go through the line, and you eat, and you just pick up anything you want, and you don't pay for it.
Oh, Doris, will you take me next time?
I'm telling you, you should
go
there.
I want to go, too.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, can we eat some of these mascots, too?
Well, I tell you, you can get salads and noodles and all kinds of things. They have two or three different kinds of restaurants.
And burgers and stuff?
And their employers get to go down there, and if you're a guest going through, you get to eat with them. And you just pick up everything you want, put it on your tray, and then go and sit down and eat it. Isn't that wonderful?
That sounds like a lot of fun.
I think everybody should go to Google.
Well, I definitely would go if I had a private tour like you
got. Right.
I don't think everybody gets that kind of tour. Although, I think of all of the attractions they mention in this article, at least for tech attractions, this is the one that sounds the most interesting to me. I do like the idea of seeing those sculptures. And apparently many other people do as well. We see down here that an engineer from Brazil was there taking pictures and looking at the sculptures.
Yeah, we see that Daniel Resendez, 34 years old, an electrical engineer from Brazil, is on vacation with his wife, Monica, and she's a dentist, and for them, it was an important place to visit.
Because they use it all the time.
Exactly. They use it all the time.
We always say, let's Google it when we want some information.
Exactly.
And Google is interesting because inside you get to see some of their little places where they sit around and have creative ideas. The whole place is not like a regular office. You really should do Google.
I would like to work there because I love the word Google.
Well, I'm not sure. It's not easy to get in, but you might get a tour.
True.
That's easier to get a tour, don't you
Maybe
think?
If I tell them I know Doris.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about that, but it's very, very good. And, you know, it's interesting that people go to these places from Brazil and from India and every place. And you notice at the beginning when we started talking about this family from India, that it said that they had their nephew with them, and he was not interested in touring. But when they got to the Silicon Valley, he woke up. It says that he says, "Oh boy," he says, "this woke him up because this is what kids are interested in, young people."
And you had a good point, Doris, when you said to us earlier that woke up in this moment probably doesn't mean literally. He probably wasn't asleep the whole time, but it just means he all of a sudden was energized, whereas before you could almost think that he was asleep. Not all that interested, very low energy, but apparently this perked him up, woke him up, and got him excited.
Yeah.
They said Disneyland didn't even work for him, which I can't understand.
I know that.
You know, I'm 33, and I still would
like
be
Disneyland.
Super excited to go to Disneyland.
But he was excited about this, so it shows that kids are interested.
Well, exactly.
Right. Well, it looks like our time is up for today, but this is a good, appealing article, and I know you'll all want to come back tomorrow, won't you?
Everybody be here.
We'll be waiting for them.
Absolutely. And if any of you guys are interested in these places or have been there, we'd love to hear about it and what you think about those places.
And we can put it on our Facebook. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Well, until next time, we'll see you here. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.